Well, please join me in the Bible in Matthew chapter number 9. Matthew chapter number 9. Again, it's a privilege to be here this morning and speak to you and to relate to you the wonderful truths of the Word of God. And we are entrusted in this sense with the gospel, the entire of all of God's revelation, to give to you what the Lord has for you each Sunday. And it is a matter of prayer, and I trust that the Lord will use what we have in our own lives. If your hearts are open, I know that God can and wants to. He has a desire to move in every one of our hearts. But if we'll look at chapter 9, we'll see what the Lord has for us this morning. In verse number 9 of chapter 9 of Matthew, we'll read down to verse number 13. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he rose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, you know I need your help every time I preach. And Lord, every time I preach, I see the work of the Holy Spirit in my own heart. And I, Lord, know that the power that has been accomplishing things in Belize and in other places has not been the work of our flesh, but the work of your Spirit. And so in that sense, we submit to your Holy Spirit today, desiring afresh and that great filling you spoke of in Ephesians chapter 5 and in other passages. We depend on you this morning, Lord. We thank you for the Word of God and for its effect on our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. This is Matthew, and he's the same as the author of the book that bears his name. Of course, from which we are reading our text this morning. But Matthew joined the disciples not as a fisherman like Peter, James, and John, and not as a physician as Luke, who comes later on in the author of the book of Luke and of Acts. He shows up later on, apparently, but he was a doctor. But this man shows up as not a popular man. These are very unpopular people. Zacchaeus also had the same kind of occupation. And these were tax collectors, not tax collectors that worked for the Jewish nation, but Jewish people who were at that time under the subjection of the Roman government, who were collecting taxes from the Jewish people and then turning those taxes over to Rome. So not only are they unpopular, like we would look at IRS agents today in our country, but they were also unpopular because they were considered to be traitors. They were traitors to their own country. The Jewish nation, when they thought of the Messiah coming, felt as though the Messiah was going to, first of all, set up a kingdom that was completely physical, and that his kingdom would throw off the rule of the Gentiles under which they had been since Nebuchadnezzar marched into Jerusalem in 586 B.C. So they were looking forward to that, and that's really what the disciples even had a misunderstanding about. You remember that passage that says that James and John were wondering which sent their mother, said, Lord, can my son, one of them, sit on your right hand and on your left when you start your kingdom? And he was polite. He said, you don't know what you're asking. And the Lord was very clear that the kingdom of heaven at the time Christ came and preached unto them was inside of our hearts. It was a spiritual kingdom, a kingdom that you ought to make sure that you're part of. And the Bible says in John what he told Nicodemus, that the only way to become part of the kingdom of heaven was to be born again. Except you be born again, you'll not see the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is within. He says, if our kingdom were physical, then would my disciples fight? But this was not the time to throw off of Rome. A little while later, Christ died approximately 32 A.D., rose again from the dead, but by 67 A.D., there was a great rebellion. The Jewish nation got enough people together, and Even some generals, even our great historian Josephus was at one time a general at the beginning of this. And they rebelled against Rome only to end in 70 AD with a complete destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. And the end of their hopes of throwing off Rome. So these people had really a desire to have freedom, and within their country were people who seemed to be working the opposite direction. These people were known as publicans, tax collectors who overcharged people. Not only were they known as traitors, but they were full of graft. They would charge people way too much. Give only to the Roman government what was required, and then keep the rest for themselves. Now, because of this, they ended up being very wealthy. I mean, think about the account in Luke chapter 19. You don't have to turn there. But when Zacchaeus came to the Lord, and he showed that salvation, the product of salvation, he said, well, half my goods I give to the poor. Now watch. And if I have overcharged, and the word if can also mean the word since. If I have overcharged, I'm going to pay back fourfold. He had enough money to give half of his money. Must have been liquid cash. This is how this man was wealthy. And then to give everybody back what he had taken by false accusation or overcharged four times. So these people were very wealthy. Now, if you read in Mark's account, this is found, I think, in Mark chapter 2, you'd find out that the house in which they go to eat. Now, this one doesn't just says in the house, but in Mark's account, it's very clear that this is Matthew's house. Now, notice what it says in if you look down in verse number 10 again, and it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Now, I just want to point out that apparently Matthew had his share of evil dealings because he has a house. Well, let me ask you this. How many people can you sit down at a table at one time in your house? This man was able to have many publicans. Many people came down and ate that afternoon meal with Jesus and his disciples. Now, that was a wealthy man. And his wealth was given to him or obtained mostly through false accusation. So we have a very unpopular man who has an opportunity to come to Christ. He's a wealthy man. He comes to Christ and then he has this great meal. Now there's an interesting correlation here that I want to draw from today if we can, that you and I ought to learn from every Bible example. And today I want to, the title of this message is The Example of Matthew. From these few verses, what can we apply to our hearts? Now, the first thing is that Matthew responded. He responded to the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 9, it says that he was sitting at the receipt of custom. Jesus came right to him and said, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. Now, it's interesting that when he saw Christ, he had faith enough to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, Jesus just looked like a normal person. In fact, the name Jesus, it was not an uncommon name to the people of Israel even at that time. It is the New Testament version of the word Joshua. And so, there, as the Bible says in Isaiah's account in the prophecy, that there isn't going to be anything about the Messiah. He didn't wear a halo. He didn't have angels circling around him. They just had to believe. And when he came to Matthew, Matthew had enough faith to believe this is he. This is the promised one. And he responded. Now, for him, he didn't have the New Testament. All he had was the Old Testament. He didn't have the advantages that you and I are given. We have, of course, the complete revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that Jesus, without question, was the Messiah. And we have the record right here. We have people like Matthew that recorded in his gospel the full account of the workings of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are well aware of the truth. But I ask, why is it that knowing these things and having known who Christ is,
when the opportunity comes by and the Lord's word is given, we do not respond. And I beg you to respond. I ask that if you don't know Christ as your Savior, like Matthew did, he did not know Christ. He hears and sees the Messiah, and he makes a decision, I'm going to follow. He arises and he follows the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you ever done that? Has the Lord ever given you the message of the gospel, the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus? The fact that your sins have been paid for by the substitutionary work of Christ on the cross? You do not have to die and pay for your sins, but because Jesus went to the cross in your place and in mine. The Bible says he's the propitiation or payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Because he was God in the flesh, sinless, because he was born of a virgin without a sin nature. And he was crucified by design, as the Bible says in the book of Galatians, before the foundation of the world. The payment for sins for all time, your sins are paid for. And he says, come to Christ, not by your efforts or by your works, but come to him by faith. Accept the Lord's gift of salvation. Have you ever done that? Have you ever responded to the gospel? And now I ask also for the Christians. Have you ever responded to the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning living a godly life? Concerning looking at the sins of the past and going toward the place of holiness, living for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you responding to the Spirit of God within? Are you also responding to the preaching of his word concerning serving the Lord? Is serving the Lord something that's very important for you? Now, here comes this man. His occupation definitely would have set him against being one of the disciples. He is not a candidate to be a disciple. He's a dishonest man. He's not a man that went out fishing that the Lord could say, if you follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. He was more of a man that had to take everything he used to do and stop doing it. He had no correlation. In fact, is you couldn't say, Matthew, you're a deceiver. Follow me and I'll teach you how to... There's no correlation. Everything you've done needs abandoned. He was not a man that would be a candidate to be a Christian. I've met such people. And I've seen some of those kinds of people come to the Lord. I think it's a marvelous thing that the Lord went and found some fishermen, some average people, so that later on when they're preaching in the book of Acts, they are called unlearned men. But God uses us unlearned people to serve him. But I also like the fact that he found the Dr. Luke. He wants to get learned people like Luke. Another one is the Apostle Paul. A very skilled man in the study of the Old Testament law. He was a Pharisee, as the Bible says he told him of himself. He's a Pharisee of Pharisees. But here is a God who can take the unlearned and the learned and the wicked. Mary Magdalene was the first one at the tomb at the resurrection. And out of this Mary Magdalene, the Lord had cast out how many devils? You see, the Lord wants to save you. Wants to make you one of his people, no matter what your background was. Praise the Lord. Now, that's a thing to rejoice about. But here comes the opportunity for Matthew. I wonder what he'd have done, what the end of Matthew's life would have been had he heard the call of God at that moment and rejected. There's no indication in this text that he had been searching for the answers of life previous to this encounter. You may have come in today and you may not know the Lord and you say, but I'm not even interested. Well, that's fine. The Lord has worked on hearts for months to bring them to salvation, and he has also abruptly confronted some people who weren't even seeking. And you come in and hear that Jesus saves, and you can get saved. Praise the Lord. Salvation is an opportunity. Notice, he didn't say, come follow a church. I want you to look at it, verse number 9. Jesus said, follow what? Follow me. And he arose and followed him. He didn't say, follow a religion. You know, there's no denominational headquarters mentioned here. There's not any kind of Bible college institution to go see, or a radio station. It wasn't even on television. You see, your faith to which the Lord calls you is a very personal faith. And it's not a religion. It is a relationship with the Son of God. A place that we as sinners ought not to have that privilege and right to be able to say, like John said it in chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You see, you can have a great relationship with the Son of God. And we do not deserve this. We're sinners. But what had he done if he'd have heard the Lord coming? The Lord says, I don't know how he said it. I imagine he had an interrupting way of things. What I mean is here he's doing his work and maybe counting his sacks of money, and he hears and he looks up and he hears a voice, Matthew, follow me. That's simple. The Lord's call to you today is the same. If you don't know Christ, follow. Come see. Come know the Lord Jesus for yourself. But what if he didn't listen? We have no indication. We don't know what the Lord is a merciful God. And if the Lord maybe, if he would have rejected, maybe he would have come back again. I mean, even Peter denied the Lord 3 times, and the Lord was back there to say, Peter, do you love me? And they had that great experience. Now listen to me. I dare say, though, it is a dangerous thing to do that when the Lord's message comes knocking, and if you do not respond. Matthew's a good example because he responded. Secondly, he's a good example because he repented. He turned. The word repent means to turn. You know, we're going this way by nature. We're sinners. Nobody ever had to teach me how to lie. My dad didn't have those lessons. Maybe you have. I haven't. When I was a little boy, my dad taught me to tell the truth. And I got disciplined if I did tell a lie. When I did. When I did something wrong, when I disobeyed. But because we by nature are sinners, and you're walking that way, the end of that, even though it may seem right, the Bible says the ends of that way are the ways of death. It says, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, but narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. We go this way, we're by nature. The end of that is hell. We realize the message of Christ, and we turn from sin and false belief. Now we're facing, I didn't move, did I? I'm still in the same location. Repentance is when you're facing and you turn. It means to turn. You're going now this way after salvation. There's going to be some evidence of repentance. But salvation includes a contrite heart that says, acknowledges, that's the wrong way, whether it be sin or false belief. The Lord said to turn to God from idols. And you turn to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And there the Lord says you're born again. And there'll be some results. You'll be able to see them. I think we look upon this man and you see that he had to stop his work. He had to stop stealing. The Bible says that him that steals, stole, steal no more. And the Bible goes on to say, but rather work with his own hands. The answer to a kleptomaniac is to put a shovel in that hand so he can't fill it with other people's things. That's God's answer. Now, we have an example here of a man who was a thief and dishonest who had to get up. He could no longer sit in the seat of the scornful, as Psalm chapter 1 says. Now, I spent, before I went to the mission field, I spent 20 years up in Gary, Indiana, one of our worst inner cities in the country. And I have met many people that were involved in things that are ungodly. For instance, prostitutes. And Debbie and I saw many prostitutes come to accept Christ. And what we found, those also that were dealing with drugs. And we found that in order for those people to become really living for the Lord, they actually had to leave town. They had to leave the place where their business had taken place for so many years or so many months that they've been doing this kind of thing, and they actually had to leave town. See, if you come to the Lord in your heart, there's going to be a desire for truth, a desire for pleasing God, which means you're going to, in many cases, get up and leave the job that you have. You say, Pastor, leave a job? Well, in Belize, we have people that, like Miss Kayla. Her husband's unsaved still. She is a mestizo, a Belizean. Her husband's a Chinese fella. They run a Chinese restaurant, a little carryout. You go to the window and you ask for the food. I found her because it smelled so good. And I went up there and ordered and gave the lady a track. Ordered again the next day, and for $1.50, you can get a whole little plate of food. So I'd call my wife. I'd say, hey, don't worry about lunch for me. I'm busy. But I was getting lunch down there. One day she said, now, can you come by and pick me up so I can know where the church is? Man, she came to church. She got saved. First thing she did, she went down to that place, and she didn't know what her husband would say, but she got rid of the cigarettes. Now, people come up. I've been there when somebody comes up and says, can I have a cigarette? They sell them individually, you know. She says, no, and she's got a sign, there's no cancer sticks available. I mean, she's a bold witness. She got rid of all the liquor she used to sell all sorts of beer. And now she's got Bible verses up there about living for the Lord and et cetera. And now a little rack of tracks. So she points to the track and says, I can't give you liquor, but I can show you how to get to heaven. Let me give you a track. And do you know her sales went, phew. Now, you may sacrifice for the Lord and decide, man, I've got to make some changes, and you may not see that great financial. I think the Lord did that for her husband's sake. The Lord has a way of taking care of ladies who are trying to do what's right and give their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the point I'm making is, if you respond and repent, there's going to be a desire for holiness. It'll be a desire. He's a good example because he's separated. He separated, got out of there. No longer was he in that business. Now he's in the business. Instead of counting cash, he was counting souls. But also, he not only separated, but he sacrificed. He got at it. He stuck at it. He was there at the crucifixion. He wrote the fullest account of the Gospels of all the three synoptics. His is the most full account. And then between 60 and 70 A.D., history tells us that they beheaded this man for the cause of Christ. Boy, that encounter that day sure changed his life, didn't it? And he's a good example for us because we ought to get at the cause of Christ, separate from sin, and sacrifice and be faithful no matter the cost. But let me, before I close, tell you one more reason why he's a great example today. And that's because not only did he respond and repent, but he also rescued. He rescued some folks. You see, we see him just after he's saved. He didn't even wait. He didn't even go through all of the new converts material. He didn't even get through a pastor's class on for new Christians before he decided, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to gather all my friends together. Because he figured he wasn't going to have those friends for very long, I bet. He got all the friends together. He got the whole union of tax collectors at his house. All the publicans were meeting. We're going to have a time. And he rolled out all. He used up all of his money probably. I don't have any scripture for that. That's my opinion. But I mean, he did everything like that to fill his house and put Jesus right there. You see, if you get saved, if you know Christ as your Savior, not only will there be a desire for truth, a desire for separation from sin, but there's going to be a great desire to tell everyone you know about Jesus. You're going to be excited about it. You're going to look at that mailman and say, I wish he could go to heaven too. You're going to say, man, that plumber that came in the other day, I can't let him leave the house without a gospel track and maybe a word of witness if he'll listen. Oh, you know what? I went down to the accountant for my tax time. I'm just saying that because it's coming soon. You know, if you all go to the same H&R Block, they might have a stack of tracks there before it's over. What is wrong with us that we're afraid to speak out for the Lord? I tell the young people at our church, because we have a worldly society over there, I tell them, you know, you ought to separate from those friends. Because you know the friends are usually the biggest downfall for teenagers. Would you agree with that? I agree with that. And some of the young people have said, but Pastor, what do I do? Do I be rude to my... No, I said, don't be rude to them. Get your Bible out and tell them about Jesus. And I'll tell you, some of them will listen, but most of them will scatter. And you won't have to worry about those nasty friends anymore. Praise God, a lot of our young people have done that. They talk about what's happening at school and how they're witnessing for the Lord and getting a lot of friends walk away from them. It's good for them. But isn't it good for us? Isn't it good for about time that Christians are taking the muzzle off of our mouths concerning the gospel? We're afraid that if we say something at work that, oh, you know, everybody at work's going to start thinking, what do you think happened here? What do you think his name was down at the Union of the Publicans? Down at the next meeting that was held at somebody else's house. Zacchaeus is still unsaved. Maybe he was there and he sat back and thought, well, this is pretty strange. Maybe they gossiped about him. Maybe they laughed. And the Bible says here that even the Pharisees showed up, and you can expect it that religious people, if you get on fire for the Lord, are going to scorn the way you serve. It happened right here. Why does Jesus eat with publicans and sinners? Doesn't he know he's not supposed to be with these tax collectors, these traitors? Huh. But Jesus loves your fellow workers. I dare say he loves them more than you do. And I dare say that God has put you there because you have an opportunity to touch people that I can't reach because I don't work where you work and where your pastor can't get to. And you say, but they're going to gossip. I know. I know, and it might be good for you. They may just keep you out of the holiday invitations to their ungodly parties. And it might just be good for you. And you can have some good fellowship right here in the house of God in place of that. That is a good example that Matthew was. It's not a, but what can you do for the Lord? Some people have an idea. You say, well, you know, I don't know what I can do for the Lord. I mean, I'm just, and I'm like that too. I say, well, Lord, when the Lord called me to preach, say, I don't think I could do that. But I found the Lord enables. What can you do for the Lord? This man got a supper together. He didn't even take him to church. He just got a supper and asked Jesus to come. Reminds me of a couple girls in our youth group. One started this, and I suppose it's not going to end. But you know, the 15th birthday in the Hispanic culture is a big birthday for the girls. And they have a great celebration. Usually all of their huge extended family comes at that big celebration. And most of the time, it's a drunken party. So one of our people, the Ramirez family, we have some Ramirezes here. But when Bernice turned 15 last year, she got an idea. She had a big party. No liquor. I bet it surprised some of her unsaved family members. Now she got a big party together. It was on a Sunday afternoon. We took a little bus full of people down there. She'd asked me to come. And she brought a podium. We brought chairs and a song books. She said, would you preach to my family? I'm sure some of the family didn't like it. I suppose that when she turns 15 next time, they won't come. But they heard the gospel. You see, and then it got to be a thing. The next girl turned 15 a month later, and her family was claimed to be saved, but mostly living for the devil. Brought all that family together, and they knew me. Some of them had been to church. Most of them had been to church to visit, but they didn't know what was planned. About halfway through, I stood up and I got the Bible out and I talked about how to live for the Lord instead of living for self. Oh, they were uncomfortable. I don't think Amanda's going to get one more of them to show up at her next 15th birthday. But what can you do for the Lord? You don't have to. I believe everyone that can should be involved in the door-to-door. I believe in that. But I believe you can do some things for the Lord. You can ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit in your heart, to lead you, as the song says, to a soul today. Lord, teach me what to say. Friends of mine are lost in sin and cannot find their way. If you're praying for God to lead you that direction, I believe God will bring you some people that he wants you to witness to. Praise God for what sinners can come to Christ because of our... And we get to see it. We get to see it. The biggest blessing about being in Belize these last just under 4 years is that greatest thing is we've seen the hand of God. Because I know better than you, better than my family, that it wasn't me. And when sinners come down and they're crying before they can get... I remember Augusto, he got saved just a few months ago, maybe June. A real mover and shaker in town, a wealthy family come in. I mean, their house was bigger than it could fit the whole church just about. God touched his heart. He was crying before he came forward. I need to be saved. And when you can see people and their hearts changed, glory to God. Glory to God. I've seen the hand of God. What can you do for the Lord? What are you doing? And are you doing everything the Holy Spirit wants you to do? Would you bow and pray with me now? Dear Heavenly Father, I pray for your blessing on this invitation time. I pray, Lord, that if there are souls here that are not saved, that their hearts would be ready to respond. That we'd follow the example of your servant Matthew, that when you came by, he got up and followed. And I pray, God, that our hearts would be ready to respond today. If there are Christians here that need to do more, maybe they need to get involved in the Seedline ministry to keep pastors like Pastor Perez encouraged in serving and give him the tools to win the lost. Perhaps there's others that just need to get in the visitation program. But you have a plan for each of us. Oh, Father, help us to respond. Bless this invitation. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Is there anybody that'd say, Pastor, if I died right now, I have no idea if I'm going to heaven. I don't want to go to hell, but I don't know for sure. Just want to be honest with you, Pastor. Please pray for me. Is there anybody like that, that you'd lift your hand up right at your seat? Nobody else is looking, just me. Maybe the pastor. You'd say, I need to make peace with God. Just lift your hand up right where you're sitting. Raise it. Thank you. God bless you. Put your hand down. Anybody else? I need to be saved. Yes, I see that hand too. God bless you. I need to come to Christ. Well, the Lord says that anyone that comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. He wants to give you eternal life today. And the salvation experience is the greatest change that will ever come to you. And it's eternal. And you become a child of God for real. No jokes. You can see it for yourself. We'd love the opportunity. I'll pray for you, but we'd love the opportunity to show you how to be saved. And we'll do that in a little bit. Is there a Christian then would say, Pastor, I'm not involved as much as I know God wants me to be involved. I just know that the Spirit of God is tugging on my heart. You may even be involved already, but you're not doing everything God wants you to do. Is there a Christian like that would say, Pastor, please pray that I make the right decisions and get involved in the ministries. Thank you. God bless you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. God bless you. God bless you. He has a plan for your life. Heavenly Father, I pray for those that especially raise their hand that need to be saved, God, that you'd help them in this hour to respond like Matthew did. Please bless the Christians who have been honest enough to say the Holy Spirit has, Lord, convicted them this morning. Give us a good invitation, Lord, this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen.